I was 19 years old when my mother passed away from ovarian cancer. And, at the time, I kind of just wanted to do something to give back. It was definitely, a difficult time for myself and my family. We were dealing with the loss, and I just decided to throw an event, and kind of start this organization. And, fuck cancer was also something that my mother said quite a bit, during her experience with cancer.
Welcome to Uprising. Each episode looks inside what it takes to lead the most dynamic and successful cultural movements. Some of them in the business world, some in the social realm, some in politics, and some in between. To see why people start uprisings, what gives those initiatives momentum and keeps them going, and most important, what lessons can you learn from these movements and how to apply them to your business and even personal life. Let's explore the secret to sparking movements that move people into action.
Passionate ideas.
Controversial ideas.
Uprising ideas.
The power is now in the hands of anyone.
To start a cultural movement.
Your movement.
To move the world.
Hi, I'm Scott Goodson, and thanks for joining us on the Uprising podcast. In each episode, we invite those extraordinary idealists out there who are creating, leading, and crystallizing and making happen movements that are changing and shaping the world. Today we're going to discuss perhaps one of the most emotionally draining and possibly uplifting movements for those people most involved. The people, the families who stand up to cancer. This has been one of the most complex and charged movements in the United States and perhaps around the world since President Nixon declared war on cancer in 1971. I myself lost my own father to the side effects of cancer, and that was the worst experience of my life. I certainly felt like I wanted to fuck cancer, and that's why I really wanted to interview Julie Greenbaum, the person and the co-founder behind Fuck Cancer. Thanks for joining Uprising.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So can we start by having you tell us why you started the Fuck Cancer movement?
Yeah, I was 19 years old when my mother passed away from ovarian cancer. And, at the time, I kind of just wanted to do something to give back. It was definitely, a difficult time for myself and my family. We were dealing with the loss, and I just decided to throw an event, and kind of start this organization. And, fuck cancer was also something that my mother said quite a bit, during her experience with cancer. So it was definitely something that, that resonated with myself and my family.
Can you just talk to me about like the first day that you started this movement? Like what actually happened? How did it start? And how did it go from there?
Yeah, I mean, it started very naturally. Like I said, I wanted to throw an event to raise money. And, I did that about 10 months after my mother passed away. And we had an amazing turnout. And the next year, the event tripled in size. And after that, I kind of realized that we had something special. It was an event that really reached out to the younger generation and gave them kind of, a voice and a platform to get involved. And then just started throwing events from there across Canada. We broke into the US. And eventually I ended up linking up with my co-founder, who was also running her own F Cancer charity that was based out of Vancouver. And it was really cool because mine was focused mainly on on-the-ground events and grassroots fundraising. And Yale's F Cancer was focused on all digital, so early prevention, detection, psychosocial support, that was all online. And then we ended up merging about 2 years ago to create kind of a new, stronger F Cancer.
Wow. There's something really visceral and stark about fuck, the word fuck. I mean, it's like, obviously there's a lot of movements around cancer, but this one just seems to cut through. Do you think that's perhaps why it's been so successful for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, it's something that most people who've experienced the disease, it's a word and a saying that resonates with them. I think it embodies an aggression that most people connect to and feel when they've experienced cancer or had a loved one that experienced cancer. So, you know, I always say it's an aggressive attack on a very aggressive disease.
Feels like also an outlet.
Yeah, I think it's an outlet. I think, like I said, it embodies an emotion that so many people that resonates with so many people who have been affected. So I definitely think it's an important outlet, and it allows people to express, you know, their true feelings towards the disease.
I think it's really fascinating. Have you received a lot of sort of pushback because it is provocative?
To be honest, not as much as people think. You know, we get that question quite a bit, and there's always one or two people in a bunch that are maybe a little bit against the, you know, the tone or the aggressiveness about it. But most people that we've dealt with not only feel a connection to it, but it's really one of the things that draws them in. So they really do love the abrasiveness of it. And again, it's just something that so many people connect to.
So you had this first event, people connected with you, you were able to crystallize this feeling people had. And then you had a second event a year later, and then it just took off from there? And it's been a huge success?
It took off from there. You know, I was running it for a few years on my own, and then, you know, got to this point where, like I said, I ended up merging with another F Cancer run by Yale Cohen Braun. And so when I was doing events, you know, those started growing quite quickly, and Yale's charity was also growing. And about 2 years ago, we ended up merging and kind of joining forces. But, you know, before the merge, it was kind of just something that grew naturally, I think, for both of us. We were able to gain some really great traction, and every year we were getting, you know, more and more support, just becoming more and more well known. So it really was kind of an organic growth.
And what has Fuck Cancer achieved so far to date?
Well, since the merge, before we had merged, I was actually raising money for cancer research, and Yale was focused on prevention, early detection, and education. So since we merged, you know, we're now focused on prevention, early detection, and psychosocial support. And we've been really successful in building some, you know, awesome campaigns and initiatives that focus on prevention. We launched a major HPV vaccination campaign that's been running for about a year now. So that focuses on, you know, providing education around HPV, making sure people are getting vaccinated, making sure people are getting screened. But we've also really been able to give a voice to our generation, and we've allowed, you know, the younger generation to get involved and feel connected to fighting back against cancer in a very unique way.
That's amazing. It's definitely one of those, you know, movements that have been around a while. So the fact that you're able to reconnect it with a new generation, I think is really remarkable. What do you think is, you know, the most important thing that you've done to make Fuck Cancer a success? I mean, obviously you talked about the merger, but is there something else that you think really took you to this sort of level that is, you know, national and well-known and respected?
There's a lot of things that I think were kind of key significant factors in getting to this point. But definitely one of the things that stands out to me is our online community. We have a really, really strong social community, and it's almost become a platform for people to, you know, get connected to others that have been affected, to give support, to receive support, a platform where people can talk about their experiences and, you know, not only provide an awesome kind of area for people to feel connected with one another, but also to let us as a charity know what, you know, some of the biggest topics are, what some of the biggest concerns are in the cancer space. And, you know, with that connection, I feel like we've been able to stay at the forefront of a lot of those issues.
That's fascinating. Do you feel that it's been a challenge to create a movement, or is it just been like on autopilot?
No, it's definitely been challenging. You know, there's a lot of things that happen when you're taking it from a grassroots movement into really making it like a legitimate organization, a legitimate charity. And, you know, one of the major things that I think we've struggled with, which is really, you know, the greatest problem and issue you can have, is trying to manage the demand that's coming in. We're such a small team. And sometimes I feel like quite overwhelmed with trying to fulfill the demand that's coming in for events or for programs or for initiatives, and not feeling like we can fulfill it at the rate that it's coming in. So that's definitely overwhelming at times. But again, like I said, it's kind of the best problem you can have because it means that there's such a need for the organization and what we're doing.
Can you tell us about maybe a personal story where you went up against a big sort of challenge and you were able to sort of surpass it? You know, like what are some of the things that you went through as this movement was growing?
That's a good question. Trying to think of a specific, there was actually, this is interesting. This is before I had merged. So I think it was about 2 years into running, you know, half of the F Cancer, which was predominantly focused on events. And, I felt like I was getting into a trap of actually having people reach out that said they wanted to get involved and help. And then I would meet with them and it became very clear that they actually were trying to take over, kind of. You know, I was a young kid, I was 19. So I would meet people that were, you know, fairly older than me. And I would notice that they were almost trying to, I don't want to say steal it, because that's kind of an aggressive word, but they were trying to, you know, take over and really get involved in a way that I was uncomfortable with. So, you know, being a kid at the time, you know, I definitely struggled with, you know, having to put my foot down or having to pull out when I thought that certain things were getting, you know, too intense with certain people that were trying to, or initially trying to help.
I mean, you said, I just picked up on something. You said that the word steal it maybe sounds too aggressive, but you know, you help give birth to this idea of fuck cancer, and there's a certain aggressiveness to it. And I wonder whether that's not, you know, part of the recipe of your success. The fact that you are a little aggressive and you need to break through that wall of indifference that is out there in society. Because honestly, you know, we're living in this time of massive noise where people are, you know, stimulated perpetually. So I really need something to cut through that, to jar people. And so maybe the aggressiveness isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think, you know, you definitely need a certain amount of aggression and determination to, like you said, to break through and to get to where you want to be. So yeah, I definitely think I have a little bit of that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but you know, you got to obviously manage it and make sure it doesn't get too out of control.
I mean, obviously it was a traumatic experience when your mother passed away, but can you talk about how that may have been sort of an energy source for you to create this mass movement that you've created?
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely, I mean, that was the spark, that was the catalyst that, you know, that pushed me to do the first event and then, you know, continuing it from there. You know, it's definitely the one thing that every day I wake up and it drives me and pushes me to want to continue growing it and, you know, just to making a difference in the cancer space. You know, I selfishly like to think that, I'm keeping her legacy alive and just knowing that, you know, it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my family. And, you know, I think about her every single day. So she definitely, her memory definitely pushes me to, you know, to want to be the best that I can be.
And do you remember why she would say fuck cancer? I mean, obviously she was afflicted with it. So, I mean, I would probably say it as well, but was there something deeper that she felt that she wanted to communicate with that?
You know, I don't think so. I think it was really just her expressing her feelings and her emotions, you know, behind it. There's no one particular story, but she definitely said it, you know, several times throughout her battle. And I just think it really embodied, you know, what she was feeling at that time.
You know, there's millions of people who have been through or are facing similar challenges and as your mother went through. And I think it's amazing that when you can put two words together and it crystallizes how, I mean, have you thought about it? Like millions and millions of people have felt, and all of a sudden you put these words together and it's like a lightning rod. It just brings and connects and unifies all these emotions, all these feelings, all these individuals on a global basis. It's really fascinating how this, have you experienced it firsthand? Have you any specific stories where you've met someone who has heard about this movement and they just have just immediately warmed to you and responded to these words?
Yeah, I mean, all the time. That's such a rewarding part of the job is, you know, meeting people who've heard of the charity or who've been involved with the charity, and just, you know, listening to everyone's stories, even just wearing the t-shirt sometimes, you know, I'll be wearing the t-shirt outside and it ignites such a reaction from so many people. And a lot of the times you'll have people run up to you and give you a hug or just let you know that they've lost a parent or they've also, you know, had an experience with cancer. And, like you said, it kind of just unifies everyone and brings everyone together. And there's nothing more powerful and comforting than feeling like you're not alone and we've all been affected and we all want to come together and join forces to make a difference. And, you know, kind of spreading that energy every day is something I'm really proud of.
This is Scott Goodson, and this is the Uprising Podcast. Today, we're speaking with Julie Greenbaum, the co-founder behind Fuck Cancer. Julie, if you meet somebody today who has cancer, what would you tell them?
You know, I don't think it's my place to tell them anything. I think everyone's experience is different. I think everyone's journey with the disease is different, and I don't like kind of like inflicting or pushing my thoughts onto someone else's experience. But you know, I would tell them to be open. And to, you know, to lean on whoever you need to lean on and let people in and kind of embrace as much as you can, embrace the experience and see where it takes you in your life.
What was the most, let's say, challenging meeting you've ever had as you've been a part of this movement?
There have been a lot, and for different reasons. I don't know if there's one specifically, but there have definitely been a few meetings or conference calls where, you know, I've been on the line with someone who's just been diagnosed or someone who's struggling with cancer, and it's just, I mean, it's heart-wrenching, especially because it hits so close to home for me. So specifically when I'm speaking to, you know, a young woman who's been diagnosed with ovarian cancer, which is the cancer my mother passed away from, they're just really emotionally draining conversations. And it's very hard to leave all of it at the office when you walk out at the end of the day. Like oftentimes I take it with me and it sits on me and it's emotionally difficult sometimes.
I mean, I would imagine, you know, when you're dealing and talking about cancer on a daily basis, it must be very difficult, which I can't really envision what it would be like because I'm not doing it, but I can sort of picture it to some extent. But it does raise a question, which is, how do you sustain, you know, a movement, particularly by a leader? You know, like yourself. I mean, I can imagine that after a while, it gets really difficult to get out of bed. Like, you know, with cancers, especially cancer is such a challenging topic. So are there great motivations that remind you of the importance of the movement that keep you going? Like, how do you do it?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, to be honest, like, it's really not about me anymore. We have an amazing team of awesome people that we work with every day, you know, that show up, that are dedicated to making a difference, that want to help. And our team, our board of directors, everyone involved in our community, like it's not about me having to lead it anymore. It really is about this incredible platform and community that we've created. And just, you know, being around people that, like I said, wake up every morning and they want to make a difference. They're committing to make a change and they really want to give of themselves to create a better world. That's inspiring within itself. So that's definitely something that I look to and I hold on to as much as I can.
I always said that physical events and manifestations are really a critical part of creating a movement. But are there other tools that you've used that have played an important role in building your movement, like social media?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a massive part for us. And that's actually where Yale's F Cancer, you know, before we merged, it was so strong in social media and digital presence online. So that's something that, you know, has been really great for us. And it's something that continues to be a massive part of what we do. And it's just, you know, kind of, it's where our world is right now. Like most of what's going on is all online. It's all digital. So we definitely need to not only know how to tap into it, but know how to be at the forefront of all of those outlets.
What advice do you have for people out there who want to start a movement?
One of the biggest things I would say is to hold on to the reason why you want to start it, and to make sure that that's, you know, at the front and center of whatever you do, you know. So if it's because you've lost someone, or because you care deeply about another cause, or you've been affected, whatever it is, to keep that front and center when you're trying to build it, because there's other things that can get in the way. But if you really hold on to what's driving you and what's pushing you, you know, you can't really fail.
Do you have a goal for this movement, for this organization?
Yeah. I mean, our goal is to continue making a difference in the cancer space, by building out these important programs that fall under early detection, prevention, you know, continue with our education, continue working on the ground with really awesome clinics and schools in underserved communities. And of course, you know, to continue growing our social platform and our events model.
Well, this has been a fantastic, chat today with you, Julie. I very much appreciate you speaking honestly and, you know, about all aspects of your movement. Are there ways, that you suggest people could get involved in Fuck Cancer, or ways that they can connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anyone can go to our website, which is letsfcancer.com, and read about what we do, read about how to get involved. You know, we're looking for volunteers. Even just attending an event is super helpful and supportive. So definitely check out the website, because there's some really great information there and some really great outlets for people to support our community.
Great. And are there specific things that you think people could help you with?
I mean, in terms of like volunteering and stuff, or
I mean, are you looking, I mean, to generate donations, or you're looking to change the way people think about cancer? Are there specific things people could help you do?
Yeah, I mean, all of that. You know, we're always looking for donations and support in that realm. We're always looking for volunteers, for people to help, you know, with some of the different programs and initiatives we're doing. And actually, one of the things that you just said, which is really important, is, you know, the behavior aspect. Like, ultimately, we're looking to change the behavior of a generation. That's what we're looking to do through our HPV campaign. That's what we're looking to do through some of our other educational campaigns. So just even getting involved, reading about what we do, being connected to us socially and online, we're looking to shift, you know, the behavior of a generation. And the way that we know how to do that is through education and through, you know, providing people with necessary information. So just getting connected is really what we're looking for.
Fascinating. Julie, thank you so much for joining us today on Uprising. I really appreciated your time, and it's really fascinating to hear about the background of Fuck Cancer and where you're going.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining our Uprising today and listening to our show. If you missed the show, or if you want to find out more about who was on, or if you want to learn more about how to create your own Uprising, please go to uprisingmovements.com. You can also download this Uprising program from iTunes. Uprising was produced by Nicola Keneally and Adam Helen, with special help from Melanie Boardman, Karin Drakenberg, Philippa Freeman, Brianna Campbell, Fashad Faroudi, Mark Bruzzi, Will Isom, James Politi, and Jonathan Weeks. My name is Scott Goodson, and you've been listening to Uprising. What we can learn about movements and uprisings that are shaping our world in business, in society, and in between. For more on cultural movements and movement marketing, be sure to pick up a copy of the best-selling book Uprising, How to Build a Brand and Change the World by Sparking Cultural Movements, available on Amazon.com. Music for Uprising composed by Charles Duchateau.